after graduation. Life after graduation. And all of us can learn from this, not just, you know, geared to our graduates today, but we all can learn from this and from this scripture today. So we've called it life after graduation, life after graduation. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for our graduates, the Lord, and Father, we do give them to you. Father God, I pray that as we open up your word today and we read it, that, Father, we can get something out of it, glean from your word, that we can apply it to our life, the Lord, and share it with others that are in need of Jesus. And, Lord, we're just going to thank you for what you're doing in the midst of us. We love you. We praise you. Again, we thank you for our youth and what you're doing on their behalf and for our young graduates, the Lord. And, Father, just continue to bless and guide their steps and their ways. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Life after graduation. One thing is for sure. Life doesn't stop after graduation. Life starts after graduation. No matter what you learn or don't learn in school or college, life continues on. Life continues on for you and me. So there's a couple of things I want to talk to you this morning and our graduates about. Number one, if you're taking notes, remember to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, and that's good for us, folks, not only for those that are graduating, but for us, too. And everything that we do, everything we say, everything that goes on, we need to remember, you know, we need to stop and take time to seek the Lord and see if the Lord is in it. In Matthew 6:33, it says this. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I thought, above all, what they're saying, seek him in righteousness. Above all, above everything else, seek the Lord in life. For you, for me, for those that are graduating today, above all, seek him in life. Seek the Lord. Seek him out and see what his plans are for us. What is your major goal in life? What is the major goal? Is it knowing yourself or knowing God? Chuck Swindoll wrote this. I am more convinced than ever that life's major pursuit is not knowing self, but knowing God. The more we seek him and come to know him, the better off we'll be in the areas of life. The more we seek him, the more we come to know him, the better off we'll be in areas of our life. Knowing him is the key to a better life. So how can we get to know him? We can do that privately. In God's word, and having private prayer time and a private study time and devotion time. We can do it in a congregational setting. We can worship the Lord at home, in church, wherever we're at. We can make sure that we're tuned in and seeking the Lord. In Psalms 1 and verses 1 through 3, it says this. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I did a message with our youth last week, and I blindfolded some of them and had about 4 youth around the ladies and 4 youth around the guys that I chose. We used 10 of them. I blindfolded them and told the youth, I said, start pulling on the one that's blindfolded. And they were pulling to the left and pulling to the right and frontwards and backwards. And I said, that's exactly what the world does to us. The world pulls on us to the point where we're so confused, we don't know what direction to go in. But I said, don't seek counsel from the ungodly. Don't seek counsel from the world trying to tell you this is what you need to do. This is the direction you need to go in. Don't compromise your faith for nobody. God will see you through. God will protect you, and God will make sure that you're going to be okay. Don't compromise when it comes to the walk of the Lord. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I pray all the time that our youth prosper. I pray that you prosper. I pray that you seek the Lord. And in seeking the Lord, God will open up those directions and ways for your life and my life, that our children and their children and stuff will be able to prosper because of the foundation that has been laid before them. Be able to prosper because they seek the Lord first and not the ungodly counsel from anybody else, but seek the Lord in everything that we do. And that's for you and me too as adults here. We need to seek the Lord in decisions that we make. We need to seek the Lord and call out to him and ask him to guide us and direct us in life. And it says we seek him and we meditate on these things day and night. It says we're like a tree that's planted by the waters and it bringeth forth fruit in the season. We don't have to worry about its leaf withering away and things of that nature. And whatsoever we do will prosper in Jesus' name. He tells me in Psalms 119, 1 and 2, he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. He said in Psalms 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. It sounds like the smart thing to do for you and me and for our graduates is to what? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in what we need to do. Seek the Lord in things of life. Seek the Lord in directions and school and houses and mates and things of that nature. I always heard that a potential date is a potential mate. Be picky in who you choose. Don't compromise in that arena. Don't compromise who you are. I say it all the time, you know, remember who you are. Whose you are and who you belong to. Remember those things in life and seek the Lord and ask him to guide you and direct you. Don't take counsel from the ungodly. They want to pull you to pieces. Like I told the youth Wednesday night in John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do to our youth. That's what he wants to do to you and me. But he said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to give us an abundant life. He wants to pour out his blessings upon us as we see in these verses of scripture. Psalms 1, 1 through 3, in the latter part of that, he said, and whosoever will do with it shall prosper. Whosoever shall seek the Lord, whosoever shall seek him and ask for his direction in life, says shall prosper. So number one, life after graduation, we need to learn to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord for his guidance and direction in life. Number two, if you're taking notes, continue your education. Continue your education. I'm not necessarily talking about going to college or going to a trade school or whatever, but just as Timothy learned from his grandma, Eunice and them, Lois, my friends, God wants us to continue to learn in the school of education. In 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 15, it says this. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the evil man and the seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue your education. Continue in the things that you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, continue to learn. Continue to go back to the knowledge that you were raised on. Continue to know the things that you have been taught in the Scripture, the things that you've learned in church, the things that you have learned from godly moms and dads that have supported you and things of that nature. Continue to learn in them. Paul said, continue in what you have learned, and from those things you've learned it. We must continue to learn after school and college is over with. You continue to learn through life, either through experiences, through trials, through tribulations, through continuing education, or whatever. We continue to learn. Mark Twain said this, I have never let my schooling interfere with my education. I've never let my schooling interfere with my education. We may learn much more outside the classroom than in a classroom, or at least in about life and life situations. Aristotle put it this way, educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. We need to make sure we know where our heart is. Some experience and education is going to come by experience. In Genesis 30 and verse 27, Laban says, I have learned by what? Experience. He said, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry for I have learned by what? Experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. I've learned by experience. There's going to be things that you learn by experience. There's going to be things that come the way that you're going to learn in those areas. But when whatever situation it is that you're continuing in education, remember how you were brought up. Remember the things that were instilled into you by your mom and dad and the word of God and experiences in life. Take counsel, as that scripture said earlier, don't take counsel from the ungodly. Take counsel from godly godly men and women. Surround yourself with those that are positive, those that are upbeat, those that are willing to help you, those that pray for you, those that love you. Surround yourself with those and keep those experiences and learn by them. Learn from others' mistakes. Mom and daddy's made plenty. Amen? Learn from them. You know, let them tell you, you know, you don't want to go that route. Listen to me, how it's going to end up if you go there. Learn from other people's mistakes and don't follow them and don't line yourself up with them. Line yourself up with the ones that have made godly decisions and stuff and imitate them. But we can learn by watching others. And if we see the others get burned by doing that, don't follow that. Don't get burned in that area. Stay away from it. Say, whoo, that didn't work out for them too good. You know, there's some things in my life that didn't work out too good. And I pray my children don't follow that direction. You know, and that we need to set that standard for them, set that way for them, continue in education. Some of it will be learned by experience. Some you can learn from your bringing up as a child and your and involvement in the church. Not only that, but number three, concentrate. Concentrate on people, on serving the Lord and things that are around you. Concentrate on them. In Matthew 22, in verse 36 through 40, says this. Says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. We are to love God and to love people. We're to love God and to love people. And the more that we love God, the more that we love Him, the more we will love them. The more that we allow the Lord to work in our life, the more that we will love people, the more that we will exercise that servant's heart in loving others. We are to live for others regardless of the vocation we choose in life. It doesn't make any difference what we do in life. God put us here to honor Him, and one of the ways that we can honor Him is by blessing others. By blessing others. And we can bless people by being nice to them, being polite to them, being helpful, being quick to serve them, and give them good service. I mean, when you go to somewhere, listen to me, in life, it doesn't matter your vocation. Everybody, even if you are a business owner and you own your own business, you are serving somebody. You are working for somebody. Even if you have your own business, you got customers out there that you're working for them. And what are you on your own business, or what are you working for a company? You got somebody to answer to. You are doing a service in whatever arena it is that you're choosing to work in your vocation. You are serving others. We need to serve them, reminded of them that if it wasn't them buying the product, you and I wouldn't have a job. If it wasn't them using your service as a business owner, you would have no business. You know, so we need to remember it's those people that we're serving. And by remembering that serving's heart and remembering those things, you can be a blessing to people that you work with or around. And sometimes it's hard to deal with people in life. There will be those who are hard-nosed or maybe hard to get to know or maybe hard to get along with. You ever met any of them? Amen. Sometimes it feels like the church house is full of them. But thank the Lord it ain't in here. Amen. Because if it is, I got a big stick. I spank them. But, you know, you might run into those individuals that are hard-nosed. You might run into those individuals that, man, are just grumpy and they're not happy at all. And every time you get around them, they just grump. You know, there's a restaurant in Orange Park off Blandon called Grumpy's. I started to buy some gift certificates and send some of them there. But anyhow, you know, I don't want them in East Palatka. They need to go on to Orange Park. Amen. Anybody around here know where Grumpy's is in Orange Park? Hey, look at there. Some of y'all already gave you a ticket to go. Amen. I reeled y'all in, didn't I? But there is. There's Grumpy's in Orange Park, man, and it's a perfect restaurant. I might open one up here in Palatka. Maybe it'll do some good. I don't know. But you're going to run into those people that are mean-spirited, those people that you just can't make happy no matter what you do. You can give them $1 million a day, they'd blow it tomorrow and still be mad at you. You know, but you need to understand, we still have to serve people. We still have to make sure that, you know, we're doing our job that we need to do and be polite to them. And sometimes it'll be hard. Perhaps we can think of ourselves as a business owner who is selling a product. In a sense, we are. Jesus owns us. And possesses us, and we're in him. And so what are we trying to do as Christian men and women? We should be trying to sell Jesus to people, for lack of better words. I'm not trying to sell Jesus, but for lack of better words, we should be promoting him. Promoting him in our life and giving people that knowledge of what we got, to see them come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Promoting the Lord in our lives wherever we're at, whatever vocation we're in, we should be able to promote Jesus where we're at in our lives. He possesses us. He wants us to promote him in our life. Thomas Monahan was a founder and president and chief executive of Domino's Pizza Incorporated from 1970 to 1985. There's a show on TV that called Undercover Boss. Anybody ever seen Undercover Boss? Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, this particular guy wrote this note down the other night about Thomas Monahan, and he was the chief executive office of Domino's, and they began to do this documentary on him, and he went undercover and went around to these Domino's and started looking at them, and Domino's grew from the smallest debt-ridden chain to the second largest pizza company in America. When asked to account for his phenomenal growth of the company, Monahan explained, "I programmed everything for growth." How did he plan special cheeses, a tastier crust, a fast delivery schedule? No, he put his emphasis on serving people. He made sure that the growth of the company come about people. And not only that, but he put his emphasis on those that were working for him. Several of those that were the cooks and the things of that in the Domino's Pizza Company now own a Domino's Pizza chain. And he promoted in there. He built them up. He sent them to college. He got them a business degree and got them education. And then he was able to sell them a chain. And now they're opening and growing it. But what did he do? He loved the people. He served the people. He focused on the people and his product and what it was doing for them. He wanted to be with them. In Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it says, Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man in his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Serving one another, serving others, putting them first. In every arena that you work in, your job, you're going to be serving others. You're going to be serving people. And do it with a smile. Do it with a heart and a compassion like Jesus had. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but what? By love, you're going to do what? Serve one another. But by love, you serve one another. Do it out of the heart of love by serving one another. Serving one another in love." In Galatians 6, 9 and 10, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity." What does it say? As we have therefore what? Opportunity. Let us do good what? Unto all men. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as the opportunity comes, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are where? In the household of faith. We should do good to everybody that's around us, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should love them, promote them, build them up, and encourage them in the household of faith. Don't live for self. Live for others, because that's exactly what Jesus did, and we need to follow his steps. Jesus came and died and lived for you and for me. He lived for others. He lived to teach people. He lived to walk with them. He lived to disciple them, train them, teach them about God's love for them and his love for them. And that's what we're to do. Love one another. Teach them and train them in the ways that God would have us to go in. That's exactly what Jesus did. In Acts 20:35, it says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive." So not only in life do we understand that when we graduate, life continues. Life continues after graduation. And if we seek the Lord, when graduates, we seek the Lord in those things. Ask the Lord to guide us and direct us. Ask the Lord to give us a vision and where he wants us to go. School, whether it's a school, whether it's a vocation, whether it's a tech school, whether it's college, or whatever it is in life, whether it's getting a job or whatever, ask the Lord to help you. Seek the Lord in that. Ask him to guide you and direct you in those decisions. Not only that, but continue in your education. Not necessarily at school or whatever, but continue to learn in life. Don't get to the point where you think you know it all. There's always room to learn. Learning in life, learning through other people's experiences, through mom and dad's experiences, through your own experiences in life. Learn from those things. Learn from godly influences in your life. Learn to emulate that godly influence that you could carry out and find those things in life that God wants you to do. And then not only that, but we're serving people, blessing people, and serving the people so that the Lord will be blessed. And the last thing is not only that, but this is what my brother tells my niece all the time. Go to work. The moment you graduate, you got to get a job. Go to work. Courtney's in school. Courtney's going to start college, and he's always telling her the moment she graduates, she's going to have to find a place to live. And then I got Mama on the other side. You can come stay with me, honey. He says, time for you to get a job. I've had to spend all this money on you for 18 years, and now you're costing me $32,000 a year for school. He said, it's time for you to go. But, it's getting to that point where, it's time to work. God is a worker, and he wants us to work as well. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 5 through 10, it says this. It says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he had received of us, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto follow us. For even when we were with you, this was commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. While many people want to relax and avoid work as much as possible, God's people should always be devoted to work wherever it is that God sends us. Not only about that, but when I thought about that, if you don't work, you don't eat. I thought about if God operated that way today, man, there'd be a lot of people starving. There'd be a lot of people starving, but we need to work. There's things that we got to do, young people. When you get your degree and you get out of school and things like that nature, if you want to have that car, you got to work for it. If you want to have that house, you got to work for it. You want to have a family, you got to work for it. There's things that you got to do to put in place to make those things happen. You got to go get a job. You got to work for it. Are you a one-mile worker or a two-mile worker? Are you a one-mile worker or a two-mile worker? I learned this, too, on that undercover boss when he started talking about this. He said, do you do only the bare minimum, or do you go to second mile? Do you do just the bare minimum to get by with, or do you go to second mile to leave your stamp where you were, to leave your stamp of what you've done so that people know, hey, that had to be done by Rihanna. That had to be done by Courtney. That had to be done by Jenna. That had to be done by Michael. There's nobody else that will put that kind of work and that kind of effort in this right here. That had to be their stamp on approval on it. That had to be their hand in that. Working is the same thing with you and me. Work, work, work like you know that they can get rid of you today, but knowing if they did, they will suffer for a lifetime once you're gone. Work that way. Work that way. Get that ethic in there and work in that manner that you know. And a lot, every one of y'all's families are workers and stuff like that are in here, and you see and you're able to take notice of your grandpa and your grandma and the things in their life and your mom and dad and how they work to provide for you, to have a roof over your head, to get you a vehicle that you can drive, or to get you back and forth to and from school, to put the clothes on your back and food on your table and the things of that nature. Mom and dad had to work for that, to get you to that point. And you need to tell them, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thanks for helping me. It's your opportunity, seniors. What do you say? Work. What do you say? Thank you, Mom and Dad. Boy, where'd my seniors go? They were alive and well a while ago. Where are they at? What do you say to Mom and Dad?
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Speaking of that thing right there.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Awesome. Did you hear? She said, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for giving me a roof over my head. Thank you for everything you're doing. I won't mess with Rihanna. She's a visitor.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Thanks,
Hey, look at that. Got a visitor to say it, too. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for working. Thank you for all that you did. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you for everything, Mom and Dad. And Mom and Dad, thank you for all them groceries you get at the grocery store and feed me every week, Mama.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Awesome. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Thank you. Thank you, Mom and Dad. You know, Mom and Dad, it worked hard. Give us the food on the table and clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and a vehicle to get around in. Thanks for that. Thanks for that work ethic. Are you a one-mile worker or a two-mile worker? Go that extra mile and lead that mark of excellence on your work. Just like these kids did an awesome job in school. Man, I'm impressed at the things they did. I can tell right now, with these groups that are graduating, they went the extra mile. All you got to do is walk by and look at them displays over there. They went that extra mile. They did the necessary things that it took to get that education, to get to the point where they are today. Listen to this story. It was around 1920. A pharmacist bought a drugstore in South Chicago. Soon he became bored with his job and began to dream of ways to make it more exciting. It was during the time when people were just beginning to call in their orders by phone. So this man decided to challenge himself by seeing how quickly he could deliver orders. When someone called, he repeated the order aloud, including their name and address. And as soon as he spoke and called that out, he had assistants behind him, writing down their name, their address, where they were, and what their prescription was. The assistants filled the order, and the driver left to deliver it. The druggist kept the customer on the phone chatting until the order arrived at the house. And most of the customers lived nearby the Chicago area where the drugstore was. But this kind of prompt service was revolutionary. As the word spread, it became the busiest pharmacy in Chicago, and within a few years, Charles Walgreen revolutionized the pharmacy industry. Revolutionized it because he decided to go the second mile. Are you willing to go the second mile? Are you willing to go the second mile to leave your stamp on things that you do? We should be. We should always do more than expected of us. By doing this, we will be even a greater blessing to people and those that we come in contact with. By going the second mile. By going the second mile. So graduates and everybody in here, number one, I encourage you, as graduates as well as everybody else here, you need to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in everything that you do, in everything you say. Trust in Him. Seek Him to lead you and guide you in life. Continue your education. Continue to learn through others. Continue to learn through Mom and Dad. Continue to learn through college or on your job training or whatever it is. Continue to learn, and God will give you more opportunities when you go that second mile. You can climb up the ladder, continue to learn, continue to concentrate on people and serving others, understanding that whatever we do in life, it involves us serving others. It involves us dealing with others in life. And then not only that, but let's go to work. Let's go to work. Let's go to work and go that second mile so that you can leave an impact on people's life wherever you're at. Jameson, y'all can come back. We need to go that second mile. You know, I was thinking about some things this week. And I thought about our youth. And I thought about these that are in here going that second mile and doing things for the Lord and things for this. I thought about Garrett and talking to his mom. And Garrett was thinking about missions and mission work and what the missionaries were doing. And not too long ago, Garrett decided to give up his bed and decided to give up his pillows, decided to give up his blankets and sleep on the floor because he wanted in his mind to think about third world countries that don't have a house to stay in, third world countries that don't have a meal to eat, don't have clothes per se to wear, don't have a bed to sleep in, don't have no covers to lay over them. So Garrett said, Mom, every so often, I'm going to sleep on the floor so that I can be reminded of how blessed I am to live in America, how blessed I am to have a house to live under. And then I know the other day, Traven doesn't know this, but I was two vehicles behind Traven, and it was a windy day, and it was raining out here on East River Road. And there was two vehicles behind him and me. And all of a sudden, a gust of wind blew a big old huge trash can out in front of Traven's truck. Traven stopped and put on his flasher lights in the middle of a rainstorm. Stopped the vehicles behind him. He doesn't know I was three vehicles back. Got out and got that trash can and that lid and brought it up to the lady's house and stuck it on her porch and put the lid on it and then come back and got in his truck and said, everybody can come on through. He didn't know that. He didn't know that. What a lot of them don't know is Pastor Tim's all around and watching. But Traven did that. He could have mowed that thing right on over with his truck. He could have went right on past that, and somebody could have hit that trash can and demolished it, and then people wouldn't have had a trash can. But he stopped, and he took the time to go apart. James, where are you? Where's James at? James, where'd he go? Crane. Where you at? There's James. James the other day was impressed by the Washington Crier being here. And he wanted to do something to go that extra mile for the kids in Russia, for the Washington Crier that are going over there. Well, James come to me this morning with a bag of toys and said, Brother Tim, I want you to get this to the Russian choir people because I want those children to have something when they go on a mission trip to Russia this week or whenever it is to go on. Can you make sure that the Russian choir gets this stuff? That's our youth, folks. That's what they're doing. That's our youth. That's our youth. Going the second mile. Going the second mile, leaving their stamp in society. What about you and me? Are we willing to go the second mile? Are we willing to go that second mile and leave that stamp and impact in society? Boy, I watch our youth all the time, and I could explain to you more than you could even imagine, especially with Servant's Heart last year through the summer months and all that our youth did. They go the second mile. They're amazing. That's the reason I love them. I'm glad I'm back there with them. And God is doing a great mighty thing on Wednesday nights with them. But are you willing to go that second mile? Are you willing to seek the Lord? Are you willing to seek Him? Put Him first in your life. Are you willing to continue to be educated when it comes to the knowledge of God and things in our life? Are you willing to take the opportunities to be a blessing to others and bless them? And are you willing to go to work? Because if you are, I got a lot of work at this church you can do. Amen? So let's be concentrated on the Lord. Will you stand with me?